Our scriptures from Mark 12, chapter 28 through 31, and 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Which commandment is the most important of all? This is the most important, Jesus answered. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. If I speak the languages of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, I gain nothing. May God add a blessing to his word.
Spirit, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name.
The movie Faith Like Potatoes. You really have to watch it. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, jobs and so on and so forth, that's not necessarily what He's talking about. He gives you the desire to love Him and follow Him, and He gives you a little extra on the side. Modoc Northern Railroad's gone. Lake County Railroad and the UP Mainline are still in operation. There's a new guy that came to town. And generally, when somebody takes over a railroad, it takes about 45 to 60 days. This guy has an operation contract signed and dated as of about 5 days ago. So in a week, this was all done and said for. God said, be faithful and work for Kenny Roberts and break your back for him and rely on me to get you through it. And last Wednesday, this new railroad offered me and Chris Colt a job. So Monday morning, we go to work on the railroad again.
Praise the Lord. Well, that's great. The Lord answers prayer, doesn't He?
Yeah.
He honors faithfulness, too. Faithful service and patience. You got a lot of that, right, Fred? The Lord's working on you, I know. He's working on all of us to give us a little more of His patience, but it's wonderful. Praise God with you. Well, I'd like to share with you a message found in actually two different places. One, in the Gospel of Mark. You might want to turn there. You're probably more familiar with the love chapter. I've got the verses up here. If you need them, you can flip back and forth if you'd like. But I'd like to bring a series of messages on the subject of love. You may have heard of the 40 days of love. You may not have, but the 40 days of love is kind of an emphasis that the Saddleback Church in Lake Forest popularized, I suppose. I looked on the internet, and there's actually several different 40 days of love. I think there's even maybe a Buddhist 40 days of love, which, that would be interesting. But I want to, for the next 6 weeks, beginning this morning, I want to share some messages on different aspects of love. And why is it important? Well, it's important because I think often we distort what is most important in life. You know, what virtues are more important than others? Most of us probably say, well, faith, that's right up there. If we had faith that we could move mountains, wouldn't that be great? Well, righteousness, and certainly living a righteous life, a godly life, godliness. I mean, we're commanded all these things. I mean, we're instructed in these things in the Bible, of course. I'm not suggesting that these things are not important. Justice, certainly. And we can name many others. But Jesus in the Scriptures, and of course Jesus is the living Word, as the Scriptures are the written Word. He said, they are they which testify of Him. And they make it plain that love is supremely important. Love. Love. That little four-letter word is four letters for us in our language. But what can we learn about love's priority? Why is it so important? We're going to look at these words of Jesus found here in Mark chapter 12 and verses 28 and following. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Now, I think the person that asked Jesus this probably had ulterior motives. I think he wanted to trip Jesus up and maybe to see if he didn't know the Ten Commandments, maybe. I mean, how could Jesus not know the Ten Commandments? But Anyway, he asked this question, I think with ulterior motives, but Jesus quoted to him the first of the Ten Commandments, and then he added a second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment, of course, love the Lord thy God. Now, that's kind of an interpretation of the first commandment. As you may know, the first commandment is simply, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you shall not bow down to them, you shall not worship them. Jesus took that a step farther. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here is a commanding, if you will, a commanding of this priority. A commanding, really, it's a command that we put love first in our lives. Now, I think that's really hard for some of us. Some of us are just not accustomed to think that way. Maybe we feel like we're not, love is not really a big part of who we are. You know, we think about the love boat and all these, kind of distortions of the word love. And we think, well, isn't there more important things to talk about? And so we want to get on to other things that maybe are easier to do, I think, than to love. But what is the authority? There is an authority to love here. And as we look at our scripture passage here, we know that Jesus spoke these words. We know that they are the Word of God, if you believe as I do, that this book represents and is the written Word of God. But there are many so-called authorities today who've written books about love. I suppose maybe it's the most written about topic in our language. The authority here is the written Word interpreted by the living Word. And that's why Jesus said in another place, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And he spoke that to his disciples. And I think because they needed to hear that. They were very kind of stuck on themselves and, like we all are there. I mean, that's part of our fallen human nature. They fought among themselves. They argued who would be the greatest. They wanted the limelight and the glory. And so they wondered who would be the leader. And they were ready to elect a leader while Jesus was still there with them. Isn't that audacious? There's an authority here that we can learn from. There's a veracity. There's no other commandment, Jesus said, greater than these. Now, I think that there has been, throughout the years, I think still today, sort of a battle of the Ten Commandments. And we know that there's an order. Number one, of course, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It seems logical to assume that that's most important. But love your neighbor as yourself. You may remember the story that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. Someone asked, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told this story of the Good Samaritan. I think it could have been a true story. I think certainly true to what the Lord knew. It happened. It doesn't happen often. But there was a man, a Samaritan, who helped another man who had fallen by the wayside, who had fallen victim to thieves and had been beaten. And I'm sure you're familiar with the story. There is a veracity here, a ring of truth, if you will, because the Lord is saying there is no other commandment greater than these. If you call yourself a Christian, then by definition, you are a Christ one. You are a believer in Jesus. And here we have the authority of the Son of God himself saying this is the greatest. So I think it's right that we focus on love. This is the season, of course, that we think about the family. We had Mother's Day last Sunday and Father's Day next month. Traditionally, churches often focus on the family. Well, I want us to think about it in relation to the family, certainly, because love is so very important in our families. We've strayed far from what Jesus said here. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Well, that means my neighbor. It doesn't mean my wife, my husband, my children. Well, obviously, if it means your neighbor, it means everyone in your life. You are to love them as yourself. I think even our enemies. Doesn't the Bible say love your enemies? So there is a veracity here. There's a ring of truth. There is also a particularity. Love God and love neighbor as yourself. It's so simple that we want to add conditions to it and say, well, yeah, love God. I mean, I agree with that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, I agree with that, except, when we put, these conditions that we just can't, there's a line that we just can't cross there. No, the Bible makes it pretty plain that this is an unconditional command here. So there's a command that we need to obey, obviously. If we call ourselves Christians, then it is a command that we must accept and obey. There's a comparison, though, in these this priority. If we could turn now to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, the love chapter, as it's called. Paul writes here, he says, if I speak in the languages of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am become as a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, there's a lot of sounding gongs and clanging cymbals, aren't there, in our world? Because there's not really love there. And you know that what that is like from personal experience. Someone who says they love you, but they're really more interested in their own needs, their own self, kind of wrapped up in themselves. I mean, that's human nature. I think we've all been there, and we all are struggling with that today. So there's a prodigality here, if you will, a prodigality. Now, a good example, I think, is the church in Corinth. If you've studied anything about that church, you know that here's a church that was very wrapped up in itself. I think a lot, you know, I have to say, like American churches. A church that had a lot of gifts, they had a lot of wealth. They were at the crossroads of the world as far as trade and commerce. Athens was just not far away, of course, and so it was a great intellectual center. And I think there was a lot of pride there. And that's why they, I think, had the problems that they did. They were all wrapped up in spiritual gifts, speaking in other tongues, and they prided themselves in that. And then not just that gift, but other gifts, the gift of prophecy, and it lists some other gifts there if you look at the letter to the 1 Corinthians especially. But there was a prodigality. Love was lost in their zeal for spiritual giftedness. And I think sometimes that happens today. In our zeal for the Lord and wanting spiritual gifts, wanting knowledge, for example, we lose love. Love is lost. There's a prodigality, if you will, when it comes to love. It's just kind of low on our priority list sometimes. And there's a paucity or a lack of love spoken about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Did you notice that Paul says, and have not love? If you have the speak in the languages of men and of angels, and have not love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And several times he says this through the letter, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So he speaks here of a paucity of love. Now you may remember that Jesus spoke of a time when he said the love of many would grow cold. And he spoke there, I believe, of a poverty of love. And I wonder if we're not there today, a poverty of love. Could that be why we see so much strife in families? Families splitting up and hating each other. And just, I don't know whether there's ever been a time like this. I don't know if some of you that are older than me, maybe you can think of a time. But very brief time on this earth, I can't remember a time quite like this, when there's a poverty of love. I think we see it, you hear it in the news reports, people, you know, some of these shocking things that happen very close to us. I think because of this paucity or poverty of love. But there's a commending of the priority as well that I want us to look at, a commending of its priority. If we could just kind of look there at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Notice the words there. There's a logic here that I think Paul and, of course, the Holy Spirit inspiring these things, there's a logic that he is appealing to us there. Are you willing to think logically? I think sometimes we throw logic out. When I was in college, I sort of majored in logic. It wasn't really logic. It was philosophy, Christian religion and philosophy. Logic was a part of that. I wasn't really planning to be a lawyer, so I'm not really that good you know, with logic. Maybe I'm not that logical. But I understand the logic of what Paul is saying here. If, he starts out here, if, several times he says that here in this chapter, if such and such, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am become as a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal. So there's a logic here that he is appealing to. I think that's called a major and a minor premise, and then a conclusion there. There's logic here that we need to pay attention to. There's language. The Corinthians were very talk-oriented. I think if they had had radio back then, they would have had a talk show host like Rush Limbaugh or one of those, you know, one of the more liberal talk show hosts. I think they would have loved television. They didn't have television, but I think they probably had the next thing to it. And they had a lot of things going on in that church. I mean, if you read about it, read 1 Corinthians today, and you'll find that here's a church that had a lot going on. They had a lot of talk, a lot of people talking, a lot of noise and commotion, a lot of worship, we would say. I think that they were probably the prototype of some of our great churches today. But what happened is that their talk was just talk. And there wasn't the love that there should be. I think they had forgotten that. I think they had forgotten the first thing, the first lesson about how to live a Christian life is to love one another. Jesus said that several times to his disciples. I mean, they were as thick-headed as we are. And so I think they needed that several times. You know, the Lord said, love one another. John seemed to understand it the most. He said that, repeated that in his epistles, his letters. Love one another. There's a language of love, if you will, that we need to learn. And lessons here. There are some lessons that are harder than others. And I think it's maybe lessons like this where we think, well, you know, love, you know, that's kind of vague and nebulous. I don't really understand it. Well, maybe the reason why we don't understand it is that we fail to practice it. Follow the example of Jesus. Do you remember when he went to the cross? The Bible says that before he went to the cross, the Bible says he washed his disciples' feet. And they didn't understand that. Peter said, well, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You, the Son of God, wash my dirty feet. But Jesus said, as I have done for you, so shall you do for one another. I think it's something we do rather than something we feel. Something we feel, of course, is, you know, that makes us feel good. It's, you know, we like to be emotional people sometimes. But when it comes to this love, sometimes if we don't feel it, we think, well, you know, I just don't feel it, so I'm not going to act it. But if you'll begin to do as Jesus did, to wash feet, spiritually speaking, not necessarily physically, but maybe physically. Whatever the Lord calls you to do, I think what he is trying to do is to make us disciples of him. And this, for in the school of discipleship, is the number one lesson, to learn to love. Love one another, Jesus said, as I have loved you, so shall you love one another. The Bible tells a beautiful story in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36 and following. Luke seems to have a special interest in these stories of Jesus, these true stories of especially of women. I think he had a special interest because he was a doctor, some believe. But he seemed to just to have a really a human interest here in this story of this woman who came and wept at Jesus' feet. This was shortly before his death. And she wept and she poured perfume upon his feet. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. You may remember that. And there were those there that thought, oh, this is, if the Lord only knew what kind of woman this was, well, he would get up and leave. He would tell her to leave. But Jesus said about her, he said, she loves much because she was forgiven much. And she got it. She understood what love is about. The Bible says that God is love, and he who loves not knows not God, for God is love. Could we open our hearts to the love of God this morning and just make that commitment before him to love as Jesus has loved us? He said, as I have loved you, so shall you love one another.
See my
Every time.